Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is on the air. Never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is a call to arms for those American patriots who, in the tradition of our founding fathers, will stand up now to defend the Constitution and the liberties that it guarantees to each citizen, to each of us. That is our mission. To explain in a clear and concise manner the direct effect of each issue on the individual, on you personally, not some anonymous being in a distant place, and to define in no uncertain terms the consequences of inaction. Let the battle begin.
This is Dr. Dan. Tyranny thrives by indoctrinating generations of youngsters whose impressionable and immature minds cannot distinguish truth from fantasy. Lacking worldly experience, the young pursue short-term goals without considering the long-term consequences of rash decisions and imprudent choices. A close friend of mine found a picture in his family's photograph archive box that showed a 5 or 6 year old girl, presumably his mother, in Hitlerjugend uniform, right hand raised, giving the Nazi salute. He commented, and I quote, "This is what happens when the government indoctrinates instead of educates. My mother and grandmother got out just in time. We must continue to fight for the soul of our country," end quote. When the nuclear family structure was the norm in American society, a child's father, mother, and grandparents were the first significant source of education and knowledge. That extended family unit was the child's most important mentor before kindergarten, as a child's basic moral and intellectual foundation are formed during those early years. A child raised to understand right and wrong with a basic set of educational tools is the nemesis of tyranny. The destruction of the American family unit was a planned and necessary goal of international socialism, providing access to our preschool children for the purpose of indoctrination. The primary obligation of educators is to provide students with the tools necessary to become productive members of society. That is the skeleton, the bony structure that supports the body of education. The ability to read, write, and understand English, a basic knowledge of science facts and the scientific method, and sufficient math skills to handle numbers and solve numerical problems have always been the indispensable foundation of the educational process. Also, essential to a well-rounded education is the study of the lessons of history and civics so students understand the origins and principles of governance, the rights of individuals, and the mechanisms under which the government is required to operate. Even allowing for the prejudices of educators, adherence to that fundamental lesson plan guarantees, for the most part, that the instruction provided in government schools was accurate, truthful, and constructive to enable the successful achievement of a student's life goals. As long as curriculum content was controlled by local school boards whose members were community residents, the input of parents could not be easily disregarded. That all changed with the centralization of public education that occurred gradually, starting with Horace Mann and John Dewey, who were proponents of collectivism and the educational requirements to achieve international socialist governance. Enamored of the Soviet Union, Dewey favored eliminating the three R's, After all, you know, it's much easier to indoctrinate students who cannot read and write. The establishment of the Department of Education gave the federal government an official means to institute collectivist propaganda into the school curriculum under the guise of necessary system of reforms. None of this could have been achieved without the financial support of America's wealthy elite. For the past century, these American traitors have spent billions of dollars supporting every group, every agenda, every fake crisis to destroy our constitutional republic. They profit from the freedoms and benefits given us by our Constitution, but their goal is to destroy America for personal greed and a lust for power. It's all about control. They want to rule the world. If America is to survive, we must use our knowledge of history to become truth tellers and teachers to our children and grandchildren. We can no longer sit in silent acceptance of their ignorance. After our commercial break, we will return with my guest on Freedom Forum Radio, Robert Joseph Walters, noted author and educator. His most recent book, Indoctrination or Education, available on Amazon.com, is a must-read if we are to take back. My guest on Freedom Forum Radio is Robert Joseph Walters, noted author and educator. Robert was born in Alabama, raised in Lakewood, California, and now lives in Orange County. He was always in politics, starting with debating kids in high school on the school integration issue. Then Bob created an opposition newsletter at UCLA called The Gargoyle to oppose the Daily Bruin. He wrote his first book in 1964 while still at UCLA. That book was called As the Pendulum Swings and focused on the radical trend in the civil rights movement he felt was coming given his days at college. He helped put the American Independent Party on the ballot in California in 1966 and ran for state senator, coming in second. Most important, this past year, he wrote a book called Indoctrination or Education, which puts light on the people and groups that pushed indoctrination in our schools some 70 years ago and what can be done to stop this trend. We must stop this trend if we are to save America. Bob has 12 grandchildren and fears for their future, so he has doubled his efforts to turn all this around. Bob Walker, welcome as a guest on Freedom Forum Radio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here.
I appreciate having you. It's an honor and a pleasure. Bob, why don't you begin by telling us how we got to this tragic state of affairs? American education used to be the envy of the world. What happened?
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, I looked at some of the old studies from 100, 200 years ago, and there was a study done by DuPont de Nemours from France in 1812, and he found that only 4% of 1,000 kids were illiterate. Today, that number would be about 40%. And it, from the time 100 years ago, the trend started to unravel this country's education. What had been done by local church, local tutors, or parents became government financed and government controlled education, starting in Massachusetts in 1837. Good intentions, but it grew to a point where government money meant government control. And that's what developed and happened. And then you got the leaders that I thought were actually better than what I discovered they were. Horace Mann and John Dewey were leaders in this battle, and they were socialists at heart, and not for parents and control of their kids' future or the country's sake either. I was really surprised. But anyway, today you've got a lot of elements that have done more and more as this trend accelerated 15, 20 years ago. By the time the college education people had pretty well indoctrinated students coming out and becoming teachers in America, the teacher ranks were 80% socialist coming out of the universities and the colleges, which really began the indoctrination of kids in elementary school, high school, and so forth. And that really was the beginning of the down spiral and faster element. They wanted to teach kids what to think, not how to think. And joining into that effort, of course, was a number of other groups as well. The Teachers Union, the Democratic Party, LGBT, Planned Parenthood, and a host of other groups like the Black Lives Matter and transgender people. And all of them had their own agenda. And the agenda was remove the family, kill the kids' faith and belief in America, and their ability to know English and math and science. It's sad and pathetic that this happened rather than just teach the kids what they needed to know. They taught them what they wanted to know from the socialist standpoint. And the belief was, in their minds, if we can control these kids for a generation or two, then we'll take control of the country. And that's been their goal. That's their effort. And I think we've come a long way to get that tact. There's a lot of teacher action, but there's a lot of parent rebellion coming up and taking a lot of battles at the school boards, which is where the battle has to be won. I included in my book a roster of 92 organizations that I encourage people to either get into or communicate with to learn what they can do to help turn this tide around. It's not going to be an overnight deal. It's going to take some months to do it. But I think it can happen.
So let me ask you a question. One thing that has always been interesting to me, back in the beginning of the 20th century, can you explain what was the appeal of socialism to these very, very wealthy people who the Rockefellers and the Warburgs and all the people who really in 1913 gave us the 16th Amendment, 17th Amendment, and the Federal Reserve Bank, that whole group of people and Woodrow Wilson, they were all enormously wealthy. They had plenty of money. They made their money with the free market economy in this country. What was the appeal of socialism? Why did they feel that had to be passed on and change the American system?
That's a good question. In fact, I always was amazed that when I was growing up, Republicans were thought to be the money, the party of the money people. But in fact, when I grew up, I found that that's not true. The money people are Democrats. They're not Republicans. And the Republican money doesn't match at all with what's in the Democrat, these elites. Why the elites have that attitude and that opinion is a mystery to me, to be honest with you. I don't know why they believe that socialism, communism even, and everything that works against what they did, what they created to have their wealth and their position in life, and they want to discard it and throw it into the general public and take charge of the world. I think it's a sense of power. I think power drive is what's initiative behind this effort in their elite's mind so far as taking control of education and changing the sight and scene of the world as seen in America.
You know, what happened, as you said, and this is really so interesting, is they understood, of course, as most dictators do, that one of the things they need to control people is to develop generations of children who are partial to the tyranny that they are growing up in, sort of to turn a blind eye to it. What has happened in education is that our children have been dumbed down. If you cannot do simple math, if you cannot read and write, how can you ever decipher what's going on, what people are trying to do to you? I mean, how can you?
Well, that's happening in this country. Look at it in comparison to the countries that have no use for us, like China and Russia and these other left-wing radical countries that seek to overcome the world at some point. Their education goes higher and higher, and they foster and feed the decay of our education. It's deliberate. It's intended. It's a shame that it's going on, and we have to do something to stop it because it's not an accident. It's happening deliberately by design.
Well, you know, after the Berlin Wall came down, I mean, there was kind of a change of the thought process in the Soviet Union, or what was the former Soviet Union. They wanted to spread communism militarily. And when we won that battle, when the wall came down, they kind of realized that they had to do something different. And there were three goals, really, of the Communist Party after the wall came down. One was to destroy the American family. The other, to destroy the American morality. And the other was to destroy the American economy. And that's really what the education system has done, has it not, through all of these various things? We ought to discuss some of those things, like sex education and transgender movement and all that stuff. You know, you have chapters in your book about things like that. What was their part in that whole plan?
Well, they had a big part in it. In fact, you can look at the military today, who's 25% short of soldiers in their units, because they've gone woke and they've got so much leftist propaganda that the young people don't feel like joining the military anymore. It's not something to call to save America or stand up for the country. And when you got a gay queen urging everybody to come down and join the army, that doesn't work. And it's a shame, because that's what's happened. But that's just the military. It happened in a lot of other things. We got rid of cursive writing. Let's see, what is cursive writing? That's, the Constitution was written in cursive writing. So now young people cannot read the Constitution because it's in a language and a format they're not trained to read. And it's pathetic. It's deliberately done so that we downplay, downscore our intelligence of our people, our young people, so that they can have control over them as they move into the society. And we have to worry, because they've got about two generations now well down the road of socialist commitment, as you see polls of young people with their attitude about capitalism versus socialism, or America's history versus the world socialism. And it's really a dangerous trend in development, and we've got to stop it before it gets to too many more generations, or we won't be able to turn it around as you and I get too old to carry the battle.
You know, and part of destroying the American family is that they promoted promiscuity, easy divorce, and feminism. Those are three things, but when you destroy those things, then you are destroying the pillars of the American family, aren't you?
Yes. And if you want to help it along, like China's doing, sending, what, they killed 100,000 young people this past year with that drug that comes in from China by way of Mexico. 100,000 young people killed by Chinese drugs coming in. That's deliberate. That's not an accident. And then you look at the border. The last report I saw, 300,000 Chinese young men have come across the border illegally. What are they coming for? What's the purpose? What are they going to be doing? I think they're getting ready for the next phase, which is to take charge of some of the military bases and really become more belligerent in their attitude, not just managing the kids, but managing all of us.
There's also a problem of the basic moral structure in this country.
Yes.
I mean, when you have generations that are raised who cannot tell the difference between right and wrong, I mean, that's a major problem, isn't it?
Yeah, get rid of Christianity. It's too much about right and wrong. You can't have that.
Right. Anti-God, anti-Christianity, homosexuality, gender transition. All of these things are moral decay indicators, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah. And critical race theory, where they teach races to hate each other. That's wrong. The only racists in this country are the liberal Democrats, who are teaching racism by way of this critical race theory that says the whites are discriminating against all the blacks. And it's not true.
Well, of course,
they should all hate each other.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's not true. But there are groups that are involved in this, like Black Lives Matter. How do they figure into this?
Well, an interesting thing. They say that they were all supporting the rights of black people, and yet they've done very little to actually help the black communities. In fact, when they got the millions of dollars of donations from Ford and Coca-Cola and other big corporations, they went out and bought $2 million houses. Five of the leaders bought $1 million houses. They didn't care about helping the black people. They care about helping themselves under the banner of chaos and anarchy brought on by their demonstrations. But they didn't mean it. It's all false.
One of the things that I've noted, certainly in the last 20 years, is that for a long time, racial tensions were decreasing. We were getting better and better at acceptance of of people regardless of skin color.
Yes.
And I always look back to Martin Luther King's, you know, statement that he wishes his children would be judged by the color, not by the color of their skin, by the content of their character. I mean, that's a very, very powerful statement. And it was a statement that helped draw us all together.
I agree. It was a good point. Well made. And we should live by it. And I think it kind of was until these leftists have begun to dominate the education and the viewpoint being taught to the students.
And that concludes another episode of Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum. Join the battle on our website, www.drdansfreedomforum.com. The right to own private property that cannot be arbitrarily confiscated by the government is the moral right and constitutional basis for individual freedom. Everything gonna be